Hey, everybody, this is Andy Marquette, and I am joined by my colleague and friend, Lise McTague. And guess what? We have a special guest in the house with us here at Let's Geek Out this weekly, bi-weekly, this geekly bi-weekly episode. And that guest is, dun, 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 Tara Scott. Everybody, Tara Scott is like everybody's very favorite lesfic reviewer and other reviewers. She just reviews all kinds of things. She is with Lambda Literary, The Lesbian Review, and Smart Bitches Trashy Books. What? All right, Tara, I'm going to turn this over to you so you can tell folks a little bit about your background, all the stuff that you want people to know, because otherwise Lise and I will spill secrets and that's just no good.
I didn't know I had secrets, but all right.
Over to you.
We also make things up. So,
Yes. Okay. Well, I look forward to hearing what you're going to make up later. But yeah, so the main thing is I am a lesbian reviewer. I review books kind of if there are queer women in it or non-binary leads, then that's probably where I'm going to be spending my time. I don't review male-female books. I don't tend to read many books with dudes because I'm a little tired of narratives about dudes these days. But you can also catch me interviewing other authors and reviewers on my own show, Les Do Books, which is on the Lesbian Talk Show. And I just talk to authors about what they like to read, because we often hear author interviews where they like are pimping their own stuff, which, fine, whatever, that's important. But I want to know what they like to read, because they probably were readers in the first place. So that's you can catch that there.
Good point. Cool. All right, Lise. So I'm going to hand the wheel over to you. Jesus, take the wheel. And let's start asking Tara groovy questions. Go.
Cool. I have to ask the questions. That's always exciting.
Should we tell people what we're doing? What we're doing, friends, is we brought Tara on because she's an expert. She is an expert on the
trends.
She
is an expert. She has read more lesfic. And all right, actually, you know what? Let's start there. Is there a better term than lesfic?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think people that tend to use the term lesfic are all part of sort of one reading community. We're all in it. They tend to largely be following books that are coming out from Bella Books, Bold Strokes, Dirt Road, Ilva, Sapphire, kind of all the ones that we know and love, as well as kind of the indie authors that we also know, like Lynn Ames, Kiki Archer, Claire Ashton, Claire Lydon, all the Claires apparently are self-published. And so kind of this part of the reading community all calls it lesfic. Once you get outside of that, especially if you're looking at mainstream review, romance, not reviewing, but mainstream romance, they tend to use terms more like FF to indicate two women, or WLW, which is like women who love other women. Personally, I actually prefer those two.
Same.
Because it's much more inclusive. The only drawback is that it's very much used for romance and doesn't necessarily take into account other genres. However, we also have that big problem in lesfic. I think I've complained about this everywhere, that we assume that if it's lesbian fiction, it's actually romance, that it's all romance no matter what. And that is just 100% not the case. There's so many other things happening by authors. I mean, both of you have also written a little bit outside those bounds, or totally outside those bounds, depending on the book. So we have really great stuff happening with thrillers, with sci-fi, with historicals, with just general fiction, any of it. That was a long-winded answer to a simple question, but there you go.
No, that was great. I mean, it's one of those things. We spend so much time in the community. It's really interesting to see what it's like sort of, what's that next step outside that and then outside that?
Well, and I think, Lise, you and I did an episode on my show probably, like a couple of years ago where we talked about that, how it's not all romance and please stop doing that because we're hurting expectations and we're hurting books and we're hurting authors because, like, Katie Williamson's book Pink is fucking phenomenal.
Right?
And it got dinged by a lot of readers who thought they were getting a romance. She never marketed it as a romance. She said flat out, this is not a romance, guys. This is not a romance at all. And then there were like reviews on Goodreads that were like, well, it would have been better, but the romance. And it was like,
it's not a romance.
It's not a romance.
Yeah. And Katie never approached that book as a romance.
Mm-mm.
And said quite openly, it's not a romance. Like, yeah. So, but that's a really good point, is that too often female-female fiction gets pigeonholed as, you know, romance or erotica. Now, granted, I do write other genres that are not typically romance, but I do sometimes include romance in them. And does that make it a romance if that's the case? I don't think so. Do you? What's...
No. I would say in that case, it has strong romantic elements. So another one that I read, I just finished reading it this week, was Secrets Well Kept by Lynn Ames.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a prequel to Chain Reactions. Chain mm-hmm. Reactions is one that came out a few months ago. Anyway, it was earlier this year. Definitely a contemporary romance, but there's a character in it, the like elderly aunt of one of the leads. And it goes back to her story in World War II, and really fascinating about all these, like, basically high school graduates, these young women who didn't know that they were creating fuel for the atomic bomb.
Oh.
Which is like, whoa. And if you read Chain Reactions first, it's kind of better, because Secrets Well Kept is not a romance. But if you read that, you might think it's a romance, and then you get to Chain Reactions and you find out what actually happened to Nora and the woman she was in love with, you might get a little bit mad. Which is where it's also tough, because again, there are the expectations of romance readers that you will have a happy ending. Mm-hmm. We have the expectations of lesfic readers that everything is a romance.
Right.
Meanwhile, she's written two fantastic books, and Secrets Well Kept is beautiful. But it really needs to be approached as, this is a historical fiction with mm-hmm. a strong romantic element, but it's not a romance.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Lise, did you have anything to add?
Nope.
Well, let's get into it. One of the other things we wanted to talk about with you, Tara, was how did you want to do this first, Lise? Did you want to go themes first, or do you want to go, you know, what are some of the fave books that you've recently read, Tara?
Let's do fave books recently read, Tara.
Okay, let's do that.
I'll edit all of this out.
Or yeah, not.
Why? I like it.
All right, it's a party either way. Okay.
Give us a list of your recently read books that you were just like, wow, these are groovy.
Okay, so recently I listened to Recipe for Love by Aurora Ray, and mm-hmm. I fucking loved it. It was like Aurora Ray said, what book would Tara like to read? And then she just went and like typed it out with her little hands and then made that book go in the world. It is about a chef from New York City who is tired of, like, she's been working her way up, but she still hasn't gotten that like head chef gig yet. And so she goes out to the Finger Lakes to a little farm to table restaurant where they are willing to give her the head chef gig. It's kind of that like stepping stone. She'll make mm-hmm. her way back to dominate the New York City scene. One of the suppliers, one of the farms, is this woman, Hannah, who's like, oh, god damn it. I don't want to have to deal with some, like, bullshit tweezer plater chef from New York. And is kind of, like, rude to her. But actually, that's not who Drew the chef is. Like, she does, like, really good, hearty, amazing, like, just delicious food. And they hit it off. And it's lovely. I want to go to the Finger Lakes region now. I did some Google stalking, and it looks incredible.
It is.
characters are great. Sex scenes are off the hook. There's one that was insane. I was like, what?
Oh, damn it. Details. Details.
It's the best drop-out scene I've ever read.
Mm. There you go, friends.
I'll just say that. So that book, fantastic. Highly recommend it. Also recommended an audio.
Okay, wait. So you're saying that did you read it on audio, or did you read it in book form, or have you done both?
Both at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was the narrator?
Audio is very good. Laurie Prince. So I wasn't super convinced about her at first when Bold Stork started using her as a narrator, but she has been getting like better and better and better, and she is like crushing it every time right now. I'm listening to Party of Three, I think, by Sandy Lowe.
Yeah.
And like the book is fine, but the narration is incredible. I'm not far enough into the book to know how good it is, but like the narration already is like hooking me.
Nice. Okay. So that sounds like a deliciousness.
So delicious. Food pun.
Okay.
The next book, I'm going to actually go back to a book I read at the beginning of the year because I've been thinking about it all year. I'm excited about it. It is my book of the year. It is Thorn by Anna Burke.
Yes. I don't know if anybody's read it. Mm-hmm.
Everybody should get this book. It is so good. It's a lesbian retelling of Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm. And it is
nice.
So dark. It is so gritty. There are no dancing teacups. There Thank are God. No singing candelabras in this. It's just like dark and twisty and emotional and fabulous. The thing that she one of the things that she does narratively that's really cool is she plays with the perspective so that most of the chapter will be in the perspective of, I haven't gone back to read it, so I can't remember the name of like the Belle character.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very end, you'll get a chunk from the Huntress, who is the Beast. And it switches from like a third person perspective to like a first person perspective.
That's really
and
interesting.
It works brilliantly and beautifully. I can't believe this is only her second book. She's like, oh, she is so good. Bywater was smart.
I was just going to do a shout out. Let's do a shout out to Bywater for signing some really amazing and interesting writers.
Yes. I mean, everything I've read from them in the last couple of years has been fantastic. There were a couple of books that just were not for me, but even then, even the ones that weren't for me, I could still tell they were very good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. What's your number three? Dun, dun, dun.
Number three is Mrs. Martin's Incomparable Adventure by Courtney Milam.
Okay. Ooh, I've seen that. I've run across that one. What? Tell us about it.
Okay. So the thing that's interesting about Courtney Milam is that she is an incredibly well-established, very popular, well-known mainstream romance author. Mm-hmm. This is her first FF book, to my knowledge. It is a historical, mm-hmm. like most of the rest of what she's written. It is a 73-year-old and a 69-year-old fucking up a terrible man and falling in love along the way.
Ooh. Nice. So what made her write this? Do you know? I'm just curious if you know any backstory.
She talks about it a little bit in the afterword. She used to be a clerk. I'm trying to remember for who. If it was Scalia?
No.
Or somebody like that?
What?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, yeah. She's a lawyer, and she used to clerk for somebody like really high up. But basically, when the Kavanaugh stuff came out, I mean, all the garbage last year with Kavanaugh and the
she
had a lot of commentary on it, and like they both clerked for the same person. I'm trying to remember who it was, but anyway, and so I think it's from her afterward. It seems like she took her rage from the whole men get away with, everything. And channeled it into this. And it's really interesting. So the idea is that the woman who's 69, she's quite poor. She's working at a rooming house. She worked there for about 40 years. She was told, if you work until you are 70, I will give you a pension. Months before she turns 70, she's let go.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she figured out that she has enough money to last her for 5 years. But like, what if she lives longer than that? Now, I mean, it's Victorian England, so frankly, I'm a little surprised that she's made it 69 years, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. She comes up with an idea. There is a man staying at the rooming house who hasn't paid for a very long time. She goes to his aunt because he has been saying, my aunt will clear all of my debts, and says, I own the rooming house. He owes me all this money. Pay it. And the aunt has been bored. Her doctor says, you need an adventure. And she says, I tell you what, I'm going to help you evict my nephew. And when we do it, I am going to pay you what he owes you, but not to clear his debt. He will still owe you that money. That will just be payment for helping me do this because he's a total shithead. And oh my God, some of the things that Mrs. Martin, who's the aunt, thinks up to torture him. I was laughing so hard, I was weeping. I was like sitting in my chair next to my husband, Neil's next to me, and he's like, what's going on? And I was like, if I try to describe this to you, it's going to make zero sense. but I'm having a really good time with this book. But then there would be times like 10, 20 minutes later, I'd be reading and be moved by this other scene where like the two of them are sitting under this old gnarled tree.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who's rich comments on how beautiful it is. And the one who's not rich is also not beautiful and goes off about how, like, why is everybody but me allowed to age and be beautiful and be noticed? And so it's just, it's a novella, but like really.
Okay, now you're just going to make me cry. With that.
Yeah. So yeah.
That's really cool because I've actually seen Courtney on Twitter kind of promoting that. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, wow, that's really interesting because I knew her mostly as a mainstream male, female. And that's why I just kind of didn't like glom onto it there. So who published that?
She self-publishes. I remember when she moved. Okay. I remember when she made the move to self-publishing. It was really interesting. I forget who she was with. I think she was with HQN, which was like the Harlequin imprint with the really fat romances.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And then she started doing it on her own and realized that like she was making way more money doing it.
Duh. A lot of people realize
right?
that.
Right? Yeah.
She says after she opens a publishing house. Anyway, whatever, friends. It's mm-hmm. neither here nor there. Mm-hmm. Okay, number four. You said you had four.
Okay.
Dun, dun,
so this
dun.
Is the last one. This is where I'm going to cheat.
Okay, good.
I said I had four. This is one book that's actually five books. Boom! Because why not?
Oh, shit.
So, possibly the highlight of my year. Okay, definitely one of the highlights of my year was I got to talk to Anne Bannon on my podcast.
Anne Bannon's fabulous.
I couldn't believe it when she... Yeah, I could not believe it when she said yes. I almost fell off my chair. She is... I think she's 89.
Mm-hmm. She is.
She is so sharp. She's way sharper than I am. She was just like a delight to talk to. But in doing that... Okay, for people who don't know who Anne Bannon is, she wrote the Beeble Brinker Chronicles, which is a set... five lesbian pulps. They were published between 1957 and I think 1962 or 63.
Mm-hmm.
And those books saved lives.
They did.
People like Catherine V. Forrest picked them up. And like I spoke to Catherine about that once and she said that that book saved her life. She was on, you know, the bridge in Detroit, but it was like this book that stopped her. And that happened to a lot of other people because they were able to pick these books up and see, oh my God, there are other people like me. I'm mm-hmm. not the only woman who is attracted to or in love with other women. I'm not alone. And without her, we wouldn't have the current state of lesbian fiction that we do.
No, we would not. And I want to point out, friends, for those of you who read lesbian pulps or are aware of lesbian pulps, one of the things about lesbian pulp fiction during the 50s and the 60s, especially the early 60s, was you could buy these fuckers for like a quarter at airports, train stations, wherever. Like everybody was reading lesbian pulps. But one of the caveats was that there would be no happy ending for the lesbian because you had to like uphold the heteronormative, whatever the fuck. So even though there wasn't necessarily a happy ending and not all the lesbians died, they just ended up being, you know, alone and unhappy. The ones who didn't die, at least they didn't die, right? But you also saw in those pages representation that you just did not get anywhere else in that era. And women yes. would share them and they'd pass them around and, you know, battered copies of these books became like legendary for literally the representation that they had at the time. So Anne Bannon, and the books they're difficult reads. They're emotionally mm-hmm. rough. They're dark, they're gritty. Like you've used those terms about Anna Burke's writing, but there's lesbians in them, like, you mm-hmm. know? So.
Oh, absolutely. And the first one, Odd Girl Out, was the second best-selling paperback of 1957.
Damn.
Not best-selling pulp, but like of all the paperbacks, it was the second best-selling one, which is like incredible. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that was the first one that had what could be called a positive ending because like the two characters don't end up together, But Laura, who is like, she is kind of the lead. It's her story. She ends the book with this, like, I'm going to go live my life in New York and it's going to be okay. And I'm okay. Like, very strong in who she is, and that she's going to go mm-hmm. and be a lesbian in the world. And like, that is just incredible. So I highly recommend it. Cleus Press has reissued them. I think they've, mm-hmm. I think this is the third time it's been reissued. Mm-hmm. Naiad Press did it in the 80s. Somebody else did it mm-hmm. before that. Mm-hmm. But you can get them either individually or you can get an omnibus. That's the one that I got. It's 5 books for $20.
Which is well worth it. This is history. Herstory.
Yeah, exactly. Highly, highly reasonably priced. Really excellent. You might want to have somebody on standby for a cuddle after the third book, because that book is fucking rough.
Oh, that book was the, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, totally.
Right? Ooh. It has, like, domestic abuse, alcoholism, mm-hmm. corrective rape, a dog gets murdered, like...
It's awful. It's just like, oh my God. I had to, mm-hmm. I had to walk away from that one for a while.
Oh, yeah. But that was, it's interesting because she was married to a man and she stayed married to him for, like, almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. And she basically took the nervous breakdown that she was going to have and she gave it to Bebo in that book.
She did.
That's how she describes it. It's just... But anyway, so I read that and I felt like, so I did it for the podcast, but I read Odd Girl Out for that. And then I kept reading because mm-hmm. I thought, holy shit, I need to do this. And it's very clear. You can see the lines from Bebo Brinker to Lee Lynch and Catherine V. Forrest. Mm-hmm. And you just know how it all kind of like flows from there to where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you read those and that you brought those up, because I think a lot of young people don't realize that the women who really are pivotal in this industry, some of them are still alive and they're still mm-hmm. writing and they're still editing. And I mean, yes. Like you say, Anne Bannon, I think she must be almost 90 now.
She is.
And
yeah.
Like, I mean, she's a delightful human being, just delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm getting all weepy now.
Well, the other thing that happened, well, so I was on Facebook a couple months ago.
No.
And I saw some, I know, what, me? And I saw somebody ask, when did you start reading lesbian fiction? And somebody else said, I've been reading it since the beginning because I was reading Xena fanfic. And I was like,
no.
Go back.
Right? Yes. So I am on a mission. I don't think people need to read The Well of Loneliness. Necessarily, but like,
no, I mean, but yeah. It is important to know that, you know, I mean, we can go all the way back to fucking Sappho if you want to get technical.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but like, there
the
there
modern lesbian
mothers.
Fiction universe, I mean, I'm gonna, you know, if you look at Xena fanfic, there's the fanfic before that was like, what, Cagney and Lacey, you know, there was fanfic before Xena. You know, mm-hmm. and it was shared by hand on pieces of paper because, you know, no internet. But
yeah.
But I feel like the Xena fanfic had sort of enough critical mass that mm-hmm. I do think you can, you know, it's definitely a pivotal point on that timeline that 100%. Is lesbian fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there are definitely many things that come before it. And yeah, yes. You don't get Xena fanfic out. Bebo Brinker without
yeah that's true
no exactly
without yeah Sappho and you know and hey if you want to hear more about you know lesbians in history, check out Heather Rose Jones podcast.
There you go.
Yes.
We'll put a link to Heather's podcast as well on the overview.
Yes,
so
the Lesbian Historical Motif podcast. Yes. I believe
LHMP. I think so. Her yeah. website is also like that's an offshoot of the project that she does on her website, just collecting historical research. If you mm-hmm. are an author who has ever considered writing about lesbians in history, go to that website because mm-hmm. she has done the work for you.
Yep.
I will put that link as well so people can find it. Do a shout out there to Heather. Heather!
Also, just read her books because they're really
yes.
good.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they
good
are.
Good point.
And I mean, speaking of lesbian fiction or WLW fiction that are not romances. I mean, mm-hmm. they're yeah, she has romantic subplots, but
yes,
they're not romances. Mm-hmm.
Just yeah. So y'all know, don't give her bad reviews because you were looking for a romance. Jesus fucking Christ.
We will come for you. Okay, that's not true. But
it's not totally true, but
we will side-eye you.
We'll look at you with side-eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't write checks we can't. No, don't write checks we can't cash, Tara.
I know. <Not right.
laughs> Okay,
I can't.
Please move us along to themes.
Yeah. So we've talked a bit about the past, and I'm interested to hear what you're seeing thematically that's coming out of lesfic right now. What excites you? What's new? What's surprising?
So I think the thing that surprised me is that this year and last year have been like banner years for two of my favorite themes. There are a lot of themes that I love because I love workplace romances. I love age gaps. I love ice queens. I love small town romances. I was about to say enemies to lovers, and I was like, do I? And it's like, sometimes I love enemies to lovers. It depends on how it's handled. Sometimes it can get a little gross. I love friends to lovers, though, for sure. But my two that I'll always show up for are fake relationships and celebrity romances. And
well, look at you.
Oh my God.
Who knew?
Did they ever come out in full force? And then the thing that was funny is I started seeing celebrity fake relationship romances.
I've seen those.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mashup.
Yeah. Like, there's been a lot of those in the last couple of years. So I'm going to say, if you, like me, enjoy those themes, you can check out Casting Lacey by Elle Spencer. It was her first book, so it's not a perfect book, but I couldn't put it down. Mm-hmm. At all. I wanted to like shake the shit out of the characters half the time, but like it was so compelling that it kept me up way too late reading it. Rachel Spangler did one in development. Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. That one, imagine if Taylor Swift and Ellen Page fell in love through a fake relationship.
That's so good.
Yeah, I'm there for that. I'm there for that.
Right? Very angsty. So if you like an angsty romance also, very good. The other one is Breaking Character by Lee Winter. Mm-hmm, I am an impossible Lee Winter fangirl. And I really love that book a whole lot.
Okay.
So.
And that's the celebrity fake relationships? Or just celebrity relationships?
Yes.
Celebrity fake relationships.
All three of those are fake relationships featuring celebrities.
That's hilarious. Okay.
I know, right?
What do you think the appeal is with those, with the fake relationships? I mean, what is it? Because it's almost sort of frenemies to lovers and almost sort of friends to lovers.
Yeah. I mean, it depends. It depends on the book. But yeah, like especially Breaking Character, it was definitely frenemies to lovers because it was these two women working on a TV show. There's an age gap. So again, hello, thing that I love. So there's this like new young actress who's joining the show and she has a gigantic crush on the show's lead. And they get, I'm trying to remember how it happened, but anyway, like, and the show's lead is like a gigantic bitch to her. And so she's like, fine, okay, we don't need to, whatever, you're an asshole. But because there was a photo of them together, that's what it was. There was a photo of them together where there was speculation that they were together. And the older one is a lesbian, not out, nobody knows, including the one who has a crush on her.
Nobody knows, yeah, okay.
Nobody knows.
Except us.
Right? And she's panicked. And so she's quite rude.
Wait, the older one is. The older one's panicked. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she panics. Because, like, people can't learn this about her.
Right, right.
And is like, we can't be seen together. And the younger one, Summer, is like, all right, well, fuck you then. Her feelings are very hurt because her idol has done this to her. And then Elizabeth, who is the older one, the lead, who wants off this TV show because it's a bad scene for her at this point between mm-hmm. like the showrunner and whatever, has a director come to her and is like, I think you should be a part of this movie. And she's like, oh my God, this is amazing. Cause he's this like crazy French director who would be amazing to work with. And he's like, bring your girlfriend to lunch with you.
Wait.
I can't remember if it's to lunch or not, but like he saw the photo of them together and is like, "Oh, bring your girlfriend." He's like, "I know love when I see it." So she has to convince her.
Oh, they have to fake him out. They have to pretend to be girlfriends.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds cool.
After she said, "I can't be seen with you."
I can't be seen with you now. Come to lunch with me.
Right? Like, hey, I'm really sorry I did that, but can you please pretend to be my girlfriend convincingly to this weirdo?
Liz, can you help a sister out? Cool. So that's a trend that you're seeing is fake celebrity romances? Because fake romances is a thing that's just been around forever. Are you seeing more of it?
I'm seeing more of it. I'm definitely seeing more of it. Yeah. And celebrity romances, I have to admit, even like I'm starting to get a little tired out. There's been so many and I've been reading all of them. I need to take a little break. And I've never said that before.
You heard it here first, friends.
I need to read something else. I got to go find like a small town setting or something.
Right on. Okay, so what other trends are you noticing?
Something I noticed. So there's a few things that I've been looking at that have had me excited. One of them I'm going to say is actually going back to the idea of audiobooks. I'm really pleased to see how they're being embraced by more and more of the publishers. It was something that I think Bold Strokes did. They didn't do it first, but they did more of them first, if that makes sense. They started putting way more of them out first. And now Bella's doing a lot more of them. Ilva's doing a lot more of them. Even indie authors are figuring out a way to like contract other people to do them. And I think that is phenomenal for inclusion.
I absolutely agree, but I'm going to be a little bit of a devil's advocate here because I just started a small house. And I got to tell you, Tara, those fucking things are fucking expensive.
I don't doubt it. No.
So Both Strokes has the capital and Bella does too, to a certain extent. And, you know, if you're just starting out, you're an indie author, you have to come up with really freaking creative ways to get these things produced. I was fortunate in that two of mine that I self-published, I was actually approached by Audible to do those. So I contracted with them and there's just no way I could have produced those things on my own.
Oh no. And I'm not necessarily saying that people need to like go get a loan to make it work or anything like that. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that I think that for readers who need audiobooks for various reasons, I think it is great that they can stay within our reading community. Mm-hmm. They can still keep up with a lot of the books that are coming out, whether it's that they have visual impairments, whether they have mobility issues that mean that maybe they can't deal with a Kindle or hold a book open. Like, I know I read a Kindle because I can't hold books open for as long as I would like to.
I absolutely agree with you. And I think what's going to happen in the next few years, I don't want to put a number on that, is that there will be different platforms and different ways that will allow much more and easier audiobook producing. You know what I'm saying? And so,
yeah.
And that I think is a really great thing. So
I hope it happens. Cause I think, you know, Audible has a stranglehold on the market, unfortunately.
Yes, they do. You're absolutely right. But having said that, thank you Audible for publishing my audiobooks.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, that's how I'm listening to almost all of the audiobooks that I am given codes for review, right? Like it's, I think they have an amazing platform. They have software that's incredibly easy to use.
It is.
There's a lot going for it, but they do have the majority of the share of the market right now. So,
I do think that there will be entrepreneurs who I see there's so much advancement in technology all the time that I just think somebody out there is going to come up with something that other people are going to start using and we'll see like even more audiobooks. And I am all for more audiobooks.
Oh yeah. I mean, if we can democratize that space, that's going to be just better for everyone.
I agree. Okay. So trends, audiobooks is a trend.
I think so. Like more, much more of them, because if you looked even 4 years ago, there was very little lesfic that was available in audio. I know I was trying to look for it at that point. I had an Audible account. I was trying to figure out like what I could use. And there was one Karen Callmaker book. I think one Jerry Hill. Like I think Bella tried it for a little while. It looked like they kind of dipped their toe in and decided it was a little too cold and dipped it back out for a while, and now they're dipping it back in again. I mean, I don't know any of the folks that run Bella, so I don't know if that's true or not. I just noticed there was a span there where there maybe wasn't more books coming out. So, and yeah, I mean, we do have a lot of older people in our reading community who need other mediums to take these stories in. So I think
I
that's been a
agree.
very good thing.
I
Well,
agree.
and we also have, people who have kids who, audiobooks are something that you can do with, it keeps your hands free. People with long commutes, people with, I mean, most of the stuff I listen to is because I'm doing something with my hands and I am bored by what I'm doing. So,
Yes.
data
Yes. So
entry,
true.
by the way, just so no one thinks that was dirty.
Listen, thanks for the clarification, Lise. anyway.
No problem.
Okay, so back to you, Tara. We've got celebrity
Okay.
fake romances, audiobooks. What else?
Okay, obviously you're gonna notice there's not a theme to all of these. These are just four
Yeah,
random things that I
cool.
noticed. The next one is that I've noticed a push for inclusion beyond just lesbians in FF fiction. And as a bisexual woman, this makes me very, very happy because when I first joined the lesbian community as a reader, most of the bisexual characters I came across were like evil cheating exes who were cheating cheaters who cheated on the league.
Cheating cheaters who cheat.
Yeah, or who had like changed their minds and went back to men. And it's like, it was just really shitty biphobic stuff, and it was really gross. And so I've been seeing a really great push for inclusion so that we do see more bisexual women. I'm seeing more non-binary characters showing up, usually as side characters, but hopefully there will be more showing up as leads. And I'm hoping to see more trans representation. I know that can be contentious in our community. Because there is, I'm going to emphasize small, there is a small group who think that trans women shouldn't be in there. But I'm hoping that we're going to see more of it because, trans women are women. They are often lesbians. And I'd love to see that rep. I'd also love to see ace rep. I've seen very little of it. I'm sure there is more than what I know about, but I think it's one of those things you need to know where it is or you need to know who to ask.
You'll find a lot of that in fanfic, and I think it's a matter of time before it crosses over into female female. I was just thinking that Bold Strokes has, isn't it the author's, I want to say Dina Blake. Is that right? She
Dina
wrote
Hankins.
Dina Hankins. I don't know what her pronouns are. Are they she, they, she, her, or they?
I don't actually know. So I read one that had a trans man in it, by that author. Hang on. Blue Water Dreams, I
That
think.
was it. That was it.
Yes. So it was a trans man and I think a pansexual woman in that
You
one.
know what else I think is lacking? And Katie Williamson writes this, but we need more and better representation of butch women. Of
Yeah.
butch-identified women. Did I get a shout-out from you, Lise, just now?
Oh, heck yeah. You know I'm all about the butch
Tara, what's your take on that?
I feel
Are
like
we...
I've seen a lot of butch women, but it feels like they're all. That's not fair. Many of them feel very similar characters. As if like this is how like if you're gonna write a butch woman, you gotta write this one, and then you take a character out of the butch woman box, and like I think, and I think we can do better. I do think some authors are doing great jobs of it. Yes, to Katie Williamson, Jenny Frame does a
Jenny
very good
Frame.
job. Yeah, Aurora Ray also does a very good job. Rachel Spangler, God, what's her name? Nell Stark. Her real name came to mind first. So I think there are some authors who are doing it well, but otherwise it just kind of feels like, okay, we're going to take one character out of the femme box and one character out of the butch box, and we're going to throw them together. I'm excited. There's one that I want to read. I haven't read any of Brenda Murphy's books yet.
I haven't either.
I've heard she writes very good erotica or erotic romance. And her most recent release, the name totally escapes me, I haven't read it yet, is Between Two Butch Women.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Which, especially in erotic romance, is rare.
Yeah, it really is. You're right.
Oh, Megan O'Brien also does.
Yes.
I think great Butch Women.
Yes, good point. Okay. I'm writing this down so I can remember to put them in the overview.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sorry, there's going to be a lot of books on that list.
That's right.
Related to that, I've also noticed that, like, just as a whole, I think the community has become a lot more inclusive. Excuse me. Because, again, there are some, like, biphobic, transphobic people, because there is often an overlap of that. But there are a lot of people in our community, whether it's through Facebook groups or their own Facebook pages, have said, absolutely not. That's not a thing we're going to stand for. And I see it happen every couple of months or so, I think. Anytime, like, biphobic fuckery happens in a group or trans.
That's my band name.
Yes. And again, I'll say, like, as a bisexual woman who's married to a man, that's been really heartening to me to see authors and people of influence say, you have a seat at my table. It is okay. Come hang out here. It's safe. We all love to read the book, same books. We're all attracted to women. It's no big deal. Like, come hang out and let's do this, which is very different from experiences that I had, say, earlier in my tenure in the community, when some reactions were maybe not as positive when they found out who I was married to.
Okay. Well, frankly, I'm happy for the biphobic and transphobic people on my timeline, because that helps me clean up my friends list. That shit comes up and I'm like, I do not have time for you. Just unfriend. No, this is my timeline. I don't want to see your bullshit.
Right? It is kind of one of those, like, it's my house and my rules.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, if you don't, and every once in a while, Tara, I don't know, you, I think you see every once in a while I'll post, you know, here's my rules. Don't be a douche. And if I see any racist, transphobic, biphobic, misogynistic, horrible bullshit, you're off my timeline. I don't have time for this. Nobody has time for this. We're all, these times are fraught and we shouldn't be allowing space for that. I mean, it's not about opinions. I don't give a shit. I mean, it's about actively creating space for harm. This is not That's a free right. speech issue. So get the fuck off my timeline.
Right? Have free speech on your own timeline.
go do whatever the fuck stupid shit on your own timeline. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Anywho.
Okay.
So that's cool. I'm glad to hear that.
So I have one final trend, and this is the one that I am personally most excited about, because I've been wondering when it's going to happen, and I think it's happening now.
Say steampunk.
In addition to steampunk.
Oh, shit.
It God is it. That FF fiction is going more mainstream.
Yes!
We have been saying...
That's it! Thank you!
We have been saying as a community that our books would hold up. And one of the problems... I know, like, I didn't find it until I stumbled across a list on Jezebel, which was reposted from Autostraddle. And it was like the 10 lesbian books that are on my Kindle. I had never heard of lesbian romance before in my life. And I remember it was like a little over 8 years ago, because I was pregnant with my oldest daughter, and I turned to this person sitting next to me, and I was like, holy shit, did you know lesbian romance is a thing? She looked at me like I was a lunatic, and I said, the books. Did you know that lesbian romance books are a thing? And she's like, what? No. So I read And Playing the Role of Herself, and then I read the first honor book by Rad, and then I read, I don't know, like half that list, and it was, but like, I needed that was effectively the map and the compass right there.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, once you find a few, you can find more.
Yeah.
Earlier this year, I became a regular reviewer at Smart Bitches Trashy Books. There are also...
Can I burst in here for people? Can you explain to folks who
Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to do. So, Smart Bitches Trashy Books is likely... I mean, I don't know their metrics for sure, but I'm pretty sure they are the largest mainstream romance reviewing site. You know, like, on Valentine's Day, Sarah Wendell, who runs it, is sometimes on CBS. Like, that kind of thing. Like, they are a big fucking deal for romance reviewing. And earlier this year, she put out a call for reviewers, and I had been doing guest reviews there for a couple of years, but she said, hey, you know, I'd really like you to submit an application. I think, you know, this would be great.
So cool.
Yeah, it was lovely. And so now I'm a regular reviewer there, and there are a handful of other women and non-binary folks who are also reviewing there, who, and more women of color are reviewing there. And like, she really tried to make the team more inclusive, but there are more people there reviewing FF fiction. That's all I'm reviewing there.
Which is amazing to me, because even like 5 or 6 years ago, they started to open it up a little bit. I mean, I love that site and I've read it for years, but I, you know, cause they were hilarious, just the snark reviews, but there wasn't much female to be found. And I'm just really glad to see that they've been sort of, I would say, I don't know if trailblazer is the right word, but they've been very receptive to bringing on female books for review.
Absolutely. They are huge champions for making sure that more people see it. And because that's pretty much all I read these days.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they have their what are you reading posts, I'm giving them 2 or 3 books. When they have what are the books you're looking forward to, there will always be FF fiction on those lists in addition to the reviews that I'm doing. And there are other people who are just as excited about these. Further to that, this year at the Ritas, which are like the big ass whatever, the like the biggest romance awards, which are part of the Romance Writers Association in the US, RWAs, there was actually a female romance. Aurora Ray had one of her novellas up, and I'm pretty sure that's the first time ever.
You mean that made the FF the finalist list?
Nominated. Yes.
That's amazing. Right on, Aurora.
And, right? And Radcliffe won a Trailblazer Award this year.
Well, oh, wow, good for hot her. Damn.
So she got up in front of that room and gave a hell of a speech. I think if you look up Nell Stark on Facebook, she has a recording of it there.
Okay, great. Great. Good news. Good to
hear. And it was incredible. Like, I was talking to, again, folks from the Smart Bitches crew that were actually there who said, like, they were crying. There were a lot of people that had tears hearing that. Mm-hmm. So, like, the broader romance community at large is opening up and saying, come on in. And companies like Avon are publishing books.
Harlequin too.
That look, yeah. So like you have, so again, Courtney Milan with a little, Mrs. Martin's Incomparable Adventure, but you have Kat Sebastian did a novella called A Little Light Mischief. Olivia Waite's The Lady's Guide to Celestial Mechanics. These are books that look like the ones I was stealing from my mother when I was 12, but they have two women on them. When I saw the cover for The Lady's Guide to Celestial Mechanics, I got a little choked up.
Isn't that a great cover,
because
though?
Because I thought, like, it's so good. But, like, I feel like it's so amazing. Because, a lot of us started out reading romance when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is what our moms had around, or our grandmothers had around, and you're bored, and you steal them, and you start reading them. And I love that there are more options than just male-female.
Mm-hmm.
For our kids to read, or even even if it is male female, sometimes you might have, like, right now Rebecca Weatherspoon just released her book Jenny, and they're both bisexual. The man and the woman are both bisexual, and the sex in that is highly queer. Like, how great is that it's not all straight one way. This is, you know, so I really, like, we are not 100% there.
Mm-hmm.
And something is going to need to be, like, more is going to need to be done to bring more of the mainstream readers into kind of our little lesfic gated community. Because it does operate kind of like...
It does, it's, yeah.
It's its own, like...
Ecosystem.
It's like the main... It, exactly, yes. It's like the whole publishing system in miniature. Because mm-hmm. we have, like, our literary, our romance, our thrillers, our, like, our everything, but all over here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing what I can to try to point more people over there. And hopefully more other people will, too.
Yay! Well, hot damn, y'all, guess what? It's been 50 minutes. Do you want to do some shout-outs, Lise?
I have a shout-out, actually. Speaking of diverse fiction, I have been reading N.K. Jemisin's...
Nice!
...short story collection, which is called How Long Till Black Future Month.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, I loved her stuff ever since I started reading the Broken Earth trilogy, which mm-hmm. is just fantastic.
That's phenomenal.
And hella queer. And some of these short stories are also hella queer. But I love her spin on sci-fi because it's not Eurocentric, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not the stuff that I've been reading since I was eight.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely different. And it's funny because it's one of those things where it's like, I was so comfortable for so long in that Eurocentric sci-fi and fantasy because it's all I knew, that you don't know that it's like, holy crap, there's so much more that could be happening until you start reading that stuff. So yeah, no, I highly, highly recommend these short stories. And what's amazing is the amount of like world building and character work she can cram into a few thousand words.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I do not have that skill. I would like to have that skill.
Same.
So yeah, it's called How Long Till Black Future Month Stories, and it's by N.K. Jemisin, and it is fabulous. If you like sci-fi, if you like short stories, if you like sci-fi that's off, you know, the
usual.
Yeah.
Off the white Eurocentric usual. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tara, you got a shout out.
I haven't started reading it yet, but one that I'm really excited to read is Gideon the Ninth.
Oh, mm. God. Lise and I both read that. It's fabulous.
Oh, my God. They had me at Lesbian Necromancers.
It is
so good.
It is amazing. And after you read it, like, contact me and we can talk about it. We okay, should all have, good. Like, a book club meeting about it.
Yes, we should.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, and then, do you remember when?
right? They'll be like, and then, do you remember when this happened? That was so awesome.
that's my kind of book club.
So that'll I'm be in. That one. All right. I actually have, Lise, guess what I finally got a hold of are the volumes of Rat Queens.
Mm.
That we have not read, so that I have not read, so I've been working on that, and also the collections of the DC's Bombshells, the World War II take on Supergirl, Batwoman, Harley Quinn, Catwoman. There's a few, Wonder Woman is in there, and it's been really interesting. I mean, my mom actually picked up the first volume, and she's like, "This is fun." So there's that, and also. Dear listeners, yes, I am actually developing a character. Lise is helping me for Dungeons and Dragons. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing your character in action.
So we're gonna.
They sound awesome.
We're having a lot of fun. So anyway, those are my shout outs for the week. And I just want to say, Tara, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us for an hour.
Thank you for letting me go on for that long.
We should totally like hang out some more and just talk, you know, just pick a couple books and just be like, and then this happened. What did you think of that?
What if we did and it was called Gideon the Ninth?
That's awesome. I mean, Lisa, I mean, I am a huge fangirl now of Tamsin Muir. So yeah, anytime you want to talk about that book, I mean, I'm still thinking about it and I finished it like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those that stays. It stays with you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, yeah, I'm in. If you ever want to, like, do one of these and dissect some books, just let me know.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right, friends, we were joined this week. We were so lucky to have Tara Scott come by, who does awesome book reviews. And as you heard, it's her book reviews are female. She can be found at The Lesbian Review and Smart Bitches Trashy Books and Lambda Literary. What? And I, of course, will provide all of that contact info so you can find out where you can find Tara on Facebook and Twitter. And you can just hit her up if you've got ideas for books you would like her to have a look at. Or if you just want to talk books in general, you can hit her up on social media. And I will supply those links for you so that you don't freak out because you can't find Tara. Anywho, thanks, everybody. Really appreciate you stopping by. This has been the Les Geek Out Podcast, the Geekly Bi-Weekly. Any final thoughts, y'all? That was awesome. Yeah. Okay. All right, friends. Go have a beer, and we'll catch you in another couple weeks. Peace.
Oh, so I am a librarian, and I had to look up Courtney Milan. And she clerked for Alex Kaczynski of the Ninth Circuit.
That's the one.
Yes, he was a total twat
monster.
And she also clerked for Sandra Day O'Connor and Anthony Kennedy, both of the Supreme Court.
That's really interesting. So she's an attorney?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. Yeah, she doesn't do it anymore. She's a full-time author.
I can't blame her.
Yeah. She wrote an article about it because about Kaczynski, like there was a big problem about him a couple years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was he's not a nice man.
Well, good to
at
know.
All.
Well, good for her taking a stand, and also good for her for branching out and writing things that maybe aren't in her comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I've heard, you know, of more mainstream authors who are doing that, specifically in novella form, like Gail Carriger with some of her sort of secondary, tertiary characters, and she's giving them boyfriends and girlfriends, and it's lovely.
Yeah, she's taking the queer characters from her paranormal series, her steampunk paranormal books of manners, her series of manners, and she's giving them like spin-off novellas. And some of those characters, a lot of them are queer. And so we get to follow up with these characters who were secondary and tertiary, but are primarily queer. And so they get their own like stories. And it's been like a whole hell of a lot of fun reading those.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, yeah. Alyssa Cole did one like that too, called Once Ghosted, Twice Shy.
I know that book.
Yeah. So that's like a side character from, I think, her first Reluctant Royals. Yeah. Book.
It's a good title too,
right? And what a great cover.
I gotta go check it out. I haven't seen it, but I like
it. Oh my god, it's so good, it's so cute, and they're like the perfect embodiment of the characters.
I love it when a cover evokes exactly what you need it to.
Mm-hmm. That's not easy either.
And good news, I didn't do my lesbic bad covers rant for you.
Oh, we can do that next time.